Okay, before you have to listen to me,
I thought I'd introduce it this morning by giving a little bit of background. Christmas is known as a time of traditions, and at Christmas time there's so many traditions. People have traditions about when they open their Christmas presents. They have traditions like turning on the Christmas tree lights, going and buying the Christmas tree. That's one of the big traditions. Did you ever have the tradition in your house, as we did when we were growing up, as the big thing was when you got the TV Times or the Radio Times? And then everybody circles, oh, that's the one I want to watch, that's the one. And then you just dread whether there's something on ITV and BBC at the same time until they invented the VCR machine. Oh, and all of that was just part of the traditions of Christmas. Well, we've been singing and we've been reading in both of the hymns about angels. And angels and singing, which kind of got me to think about another one of the big traditions that's part of our national heritage, and it's a tradition that comes with the music industry. And in the music industry, one of the things that they build up for every year is who's going to be the number one at Christmas. Who is the big number one? And the record labels. No, Father Christmas, he's way down there. He's nothing compared to who's really number one. But as far as the hits at Christmas, the record labels compete with one another. And the stars compete with one another. And then in more recent years, X Factor and all those kind of programs that have come from that all try to produce the number one. Actually, it's a big commercial reason why they're trying to be number one. But it's part of our tradition. So before I say what I want to say about the subjects of singing at Christmas, I thought I'd just give you a bit of a quiz. And I'm going to test you to see what your knowledge is of Christmas hits. There are prizes. I've got to tell you, some of these prizes might have gone through the week as I've been struggling a little bit and need a bit of enthusiasm myself with the massive stuff to do. So I've been chewing these. And then I went to Welshwood and I talked to the ladies at Welshwood and I was reminded that these are so hard. A lot of you might struggle to chew them. So I went out and I bought some soft ones as well. So if you prefer these as your prizes, if you can get these. Here's the deal. You can choose which ones you like, and I'm having all the rest. I'm going to give you two lines of a Christmas hit, big hits. I'm going to just give you the first two lines. So I want you to give me the song title. I want you to give me the artist. And I want you to give me the year. And because I don't expect you all to be geniuses, just the person who gets nearest is probably going to get the prize. All right. So are you ready to give it a go? And then at the end, I'll just play the 30 seconds of each track. Here's the first one. First two lines. Snow is falling all around me. Children playing, having fun. Shaking Stevens is the artist that's been suggested. Anyone wants a different? What's the title? You might want to just kind of sing it through a little bit to get to the title, if you can. Merry Christmas, everyone. Shaking Stevens in the year. 76. Okay, here we go. Merry Christmas, everyone. Shaking Stevens. 85. Okay, so let you play it just so that you know I'm not making it up.
Snow is falling all around me. Children playing, having fun. It's the season. Love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay. Interesting. So congratulations, well done on getting all of those and having some variable knowledge. And we'll pray for those who knew far too much. Well, that was good. Well done. Some people remember things very, very well. But that's not quite the end, because that was the lead-in to what I really want to talk about. I want to show you the first two lines of another Christmas hit. It's actually the first ever Christmas hit. And I wonder if you know who produced this. Here are the first two lines. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. It was written that, first of all, if you want to know what this is, if you want to give it a title, then the title is The Message of Christmas. Released around 4 BC. Artist, the angel. Or more accurately, the angel and the most unbelievable backing group ever imagined, the heavenly host. Not one or two, but an entire host as an angelic choir singing. You know those words. That's what Lorinda read to us from that passage where the angels sang. That is the first Christmas number one. That was the biggest hit. Why so important? Why so popular? The reason why hits get to number one at Christmas is usually one of two reasons. Either because of the popularity of the artist or because it's a particularly good tune. Well, I don't think the angel was particularly well known. That wasn't a reason. And the Bible doesn't come with sound, so we've no idea what the tune was actually like. But the reason that this song was as amazing as it was is because of the words. The words that are just incredible. Now, if you were listening to all those songs that we played as part of the quiz, some words are kind of, you know, they're a bit okay. Some beautiful, like the Harry Belafonte, Mary's Boy Child, Jesus Christ. That's what amazing words they are. But in the main, the words are rubbish. Because they're about sleighs and flea-ridden reindeers and things of that nature and snow, which is all good and well if you live in Finland, where it probably snows every Christmas. But in Britain, it rains far more than it snows at Christmas. And if you live in the southern hemisphere, it's summer, so it's hardly appropriate. But these words have relevance to us because these words are for all people in all nations and for all time. And that's what I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning. The very first Christmas number one coming from God. And the first line says so much about it. And I want to emphasize the very first word, glory. Glory to God in the highest. What the angels were saying is give glory to God in the highest. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Glory. It's really quite hard to get your head around it. It's not a word that we use very often. But that word glory we tend to think of in the context of a great military victory, the glory of war, or a sporting victory. We speak about people who've done great things and giving them glory. Did anybody watch the BBC Sports Personality of the Year last weekend after the carol service? If you saw any of that, and they go through the top six, that's what they do in the new way of doing it, go through the top six sporting achievements. And you've got 10,000 people all around the NEC in Birmingham, all cheering, and they put onto the screen the highlights of what these people have done. And they praise them, and they give them glory for the victories that they've won. But what they do is going to be surpassed by someone else next year. And it'll be forgotten about. And it's a human victory. And very often, that kind of use of the word glory is about success. Sometimes it can actually be about boasting. Glory, in its true sense, is much more than that. This is probably a good definition of glory. It's the highest expression of respect, admiration, and honor. And this week, I came across another definition of it. And it was this, concerning God's glory. It is something which is beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons, all calculations. Science can't get a grip on it. You cannot use words to adequately define it. And a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness that is never to cease. That is the glory that the angels were speaking about. That can only be applied to God's glory. That is what we're looking at this morning. Glory to God in the highest. Because the Christmas story and this incident that took place on a hillside at Bethlehem was nothing short of an absolute miracle of God. God did something that nobody else could do. That's why they're singing glory. The miracle of God, who's so much greater that he could measure the entire universe in the span of his hand, yet coming down in the form of a baby. Can you begin to get your head around that? That's why the angels were saying, may God in the highest be glorified. I want to encourage you this Christmas to do that. I want you to encourage you to give glory to God. You will do lots of interesting things and lots of fun things this Christmas. I dare say you'll have fun and games with your family, maybe with children. You will celebrate. You'll have lots of nice things to do. You will probably eat some really nice food. You'll probably eat far too much of it. I've probably just given you far too much of it. But that's what we will all do. And we look at it, and sometimes we think those are the things that Christmas is about. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say to you, please, if you do nothing else, if you hear nothing else from me, I encourage you to do what the angels were saying. May God be given glory for what he did. This is what Christmas is about. He did something stunning for us. And it's stunning not just because God did a miracle, but because he looked down at this world and he loved us so much that even though he is God in the highest heaven, he didn't want to stay away from us. He wanted to live with us, alongside us. So he came down in the form of this baby so that he could address the things that were wrong in our lives and draw us back to him. That is the God that we're talking about. No wonder the angel, the shepherds, must have been blown away by this event. I was thinking about it. You know, as you drive around at the moment, there are lights everywhere. There are lights in people's homes, there are Christmas tree lights, and it's all very colourful. You don't see the stars, do you? You don't see anything. That wouldn't have been the experience of these shepherds. I've lived in Asia, I've lived in Africa, and I have been in places where there are no lights for miles and miles and miles. And when there are no communities for 50 miles, there are no haze in the sky stopping you seeing the stars. Just being there, like the shepherds must have been on that occasion, to see the stars alone must have been stunning. But then the angel appears, all bright light shines all around. Can you begin to imagine what it must have been like? Can you imagine having that choir singing? If you've ever been in the presence of a really beautiful choir, singing songs like Songs from the Messiah, all singing in harmony, and this is God's choir singing so much better than this. Can you imagine the glory of God shining all around? And these shepherds were the first to ever hear this message. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Wow. That's just the first line of the hit. Nothing to do with when the snowman brings the snow, there's something he ought to know. I mean, what rubbish by comparison with this. And yet that song that is so drivel is what most people, including half the flipping church, are listening to this morning. Because we're so wrapped up in stuff. And this is what God has to say. Come on. What's Christmas really going to be about? That's the first line because it speaks about the God who did it. But the second speaks about who God did it for. Us. And on earth, peace among those whom he favours. Peace. Christmas cards are full of that sign of peace, aren't they? Like cards like this, that have, you know, the dove and the olive branch in its beak. Peace. But what did it really mean? What did we mean, bringing peace at Christmas? Not many of us are embraced in a particularly active, violent situation. But is that the kind of peace we're talking about? The absence of violence. I think most of us are just enjoy a little bit of peace at Christmas that comes when it's a slightly bit quieter than it has been. Don't you think it's weird? Isn't there an irony? Is it just me? Isn't there an irony that God at Christmas calls for peace in this world? And yet, even for us as the church, we are busier than ever. We will be surrounded by more noise than ever. There'll be more chaos than ever. We're more shattered than ever. Where the heck is the peace? What are we doing? That's what God is calling for. He came to bring peace. But what exactly is this peace? You know, one of the things I did this week, which might surprise you, in addition to writing references for people and doing things of that nature, I went and looked at a course for domestic violence. One of the things I have to do before the end of the year, so that was this week. And as part of that course, I was reminded that one in four women in this country experiences domestic violence. Do you know, every 3 days in this country, a woman dies because of domestic violence in this country. There is a real need for peace, but is that the peace that we were speaking, that God was and the angels were speaking about? That wasn't all they said. It wasn't just peace on earth. They went a little bit further than that. As this Christmas card says, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now, the goodwill to men bit is the King James Version. That's the authorized version. That's what it is. It's more accurately written, peace on earth to men of good will. Or, as our version of the Bible on your pew says, among those whom he favours. What does that mean? Seems to be really a bit more specific, isn't it? And it is more specific. First it is to all men. That's why when the angels sang out, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Make no mistake, Jesus came to bring good news to all people. But does that mean that all people will experience that peace? And the answer is, actually, no, it doesn't. I must get this right as I say it. It is so easy for us to look at the world and recognize it needs peace. You all do that. We can all do that. It's easy. It's not so easy to look at ourselves and dare to ask the question, am I really at peace with God? It's not so easy to ask the question, is God pleased with me? Am I in his favor? Is God pleased with me? And suddenly when we start thinking about that, it becomes rather more uncomfortable. But that's the reality. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to those who are going to take this child, Jesus, and believe in him and understand him. Precisely. The good news about Christmas is that this is why Jesus came. He came to bring peace to all people, but he came to do something amazing. He came to bring peace between us and God. He came to put right that thing which, because of all the stuff we get wrong in life, acts as a barrier between us and God. those things that we can never overcome ourselves. We can never put right, because none of us is perfect enough to always get it right. Jesus came to put that right. And he came to do it by giving himself in the process. And that's why the angels sang. That's why they were bringing tidings of great joy. Because God came as Jesus, and he came for you, so that you could have that relationship fixed with God. Peace at Christmas doesn't mean an end to all violence. It means the beginning of a peaceful relationship with God. It means the start of living life being right with God. So that those things that have held us from him, those things that would otherwise cause us not to know him, can be corrected only through Jesus, through believing in him. The first number one, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. No fluffy words, no drivel about characters that have been made up or snowy scenes, but a gritty reality of a baby being given so that I can be in a right relationship with God. Because the baby that was born grew into a man who would die and then be raised again and would give himself so that I can be right with God, so that you can be right with God. And if you were reading, listening to the reading that Lorinda gave, and you noted the response of the shepherds, the response was of such delight that God was doing this for them, that they were filled with joy. And they were absolutely delighted to go on and to take a response and go and see the baby for themselves. This Christmas, I want to encourage you to do that, to see Jesus for yourselves. This Christmas, when you wake up on Christmas morning, look forward to the great things that happen, but don't lose sight of this amazing Jesus who gave himself so that you will be at peace forever with God. And they knew that because they believed the angel. They believed. Do we believe that God gave his son? Because when you believe that, when you accept him, that joy becomes yours as well. And if that's your response, if that's your reality, I should say, your response should be to want to tell people. I am all in favor of you having fun and having a great time and enjoying the time with the kids and opening the presents, excuse me, and all the wonderful things that are wrapped up in that. But I encourage you to do something much more amazing. And just for a second in the craziness, just stop and remember Jesus and the glory of this incident that is beyond imagination, that cannot be defined, that no textbook can explain, that God stepped into this world. The creator of this world stepped in and gave his son to die for his rebellious creation. Wow. That's our reality of Christmas. Glory to God in the highest. So if you're going to tell people about it, I think we should sing about it. So let's sing our final hymn.